and open your hearts.
Sure, that was an exciting welcome. Morning, Olive Tree. How are you all? Good? Come on, you can do better than that. How are you guys? Are you fine? Okay, good. As I just unpack my props and my laptop, which has got my preach on, I'm going to ask that we bow our heads for prayer. Father Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be on stage, to preach your word. I pray that today you would enter into the hearts and minds of the people here, that you would touch them in a way that only you can, and give them hope and expectation for a future that is all in your hands. Amen. Okay, so this password. Okay, there we go. So, today we are, well, in the past this series has been all about happiness. It's called the Happiness Project. And I think for a lot of us out there, we probably feel like we haven't been as happy as we perhaps could be or should be. And today I have the wonderful honor and privilege to talk to you about wonder and awe. And I want to set the scene with a little story. On the 21st of September, 2001, I had the privilege and honor of climbing Mount Kilimanjaro with my mum as my 21st birthday present. No, you don't. It's not the type of 21st birthday. Has anyone climbed Kilimanjaro here? No. Have you? Oh, okay. Damn, I was hoping that was going to be one person. And sorry, I also wanted to just say hello to all the people online. Thank you for joining us. It's great to have you here. So, at 8:07 on the 21st of September 2001, I was on the top of Africa. It's called Uhuru Peak, looking down to Mount Kenya. I mean, Kenya on the left, Mount Meru just below. And in that moment, I experienced wonder and awe. Just to give you a bit of background, the party that we went up Mount Kilimanjaro with. Now, Mount Kilimanjaro is the tallest freestanding mountain in the world and the tallest mountain in Africa, 5,895 meters. And the party that we were climbing with was my mum, my uncle, friends of ours from Pietermaritzburg, and then a group of a family that came from the UK to do it. I think our party was about 10 strong. And you can imagine that climbing Mount Kilimanjaro is not like going for a hike in the berg. You're exposed to a number of risks, and it's serious. You know, you've got to have all the gear and all the equipment. There's a lot of logistical elements that you've got to take into account. And of course, there are a lot of risks, as I said. You know, there's exposure to cold, altitude sickness. You could fall and hurt yourself. And of course, you needed to train. You needed to be fit. So I never forget the one moment where my mum and I went to go and get our boots, our hiking boots from Jim Green. I think they're still open, actually, in Maritzburg. And the guy said to me, you know, you've got to wear these in, and just also, if you want your feet to get tougher, rub them with methylated spirits at night, and they'll callus your feet. It only lasted 2 nights. I didn't really enjoy that whole vibe. But anyway, that was one of the things. Now, why wouldn't I do it? Who, at the age of 21, after being offered this wonderful 21st birthday present to go and climb in Kilimanjaro, I was 21, I was fit, young, healthy. Hopefully I'm still fit and healthy, but perhaps not as young. And it was just such a wonderful opportunity for me to climb the mountain with my mum. Now, just a bit of background, we did what we call the Machami route, which is 6 nights and 7 days. It is the hardest route. And just to give you a bit of an idea, we traveled 62 kilometers in total, but the ascent, how much we climbed, was 4,160 meters. So you started at 1850, and we finished at 5895. Sorry, my maths is not great, but I'm just going with that. And I never forget, we had a group of the head guide, his name was Elias Masawe. I will never forget, he was like a big teddy bear, and he had a whole crew of porters. And just frankly, the unsung heroes of Kilimanjaro are the porters, because they lug all your stuff and you're hacking with your little day pack to get up there. But they used to say to us, pole, pole, slowly, slowly. And I love that philosophy. I love that it's Swahili, for just go slowly. I love that philosophy. Now, I'm going to fast forward to the Friday night. So we're now, you know, day six. This is night seven. We arrive in camp, Barafu camp, I think it was, and we are spent. We've been hiking for 5 days. We're tired. We haven't showered. There are no showers up there, you know, so we're, you know, fairly smelly. And we get to camp, we eat, and then they say to us at 8 o'clock, right, you need to now go to bed. We're going to wake you up at 11 o'clock because we climb at night. Now, the reason for that is the Screed slope freezes at night. So as opposed to climbing it in the day where you're taking two steps up and one step back, we climb at night. It forever entered into my memory as just this trail, caterpillar trail of head torches of people going up the mountain. So we started at 12, and at 7 minutes past 8 on the 21st of September 2001, we summited Mount Kilimanjaro. What an amazing experience. I did it with my mum, my uncle, and friends. And of course, you can imagine the elation and the joy that we had at the top, hugging each other, tears. We didn't have digital cameras even in those days. I don't think we did. But we certainly didn't have cell phones. We weren't able to take pictures. We did take pictures, which we then later processed. And I've got one to show you today. We had a satellite phone. We phoned home. It was just such a wonderful moment. And I think, for me, if there's one thing that I want us to take out of today is that when we're in God's creation, we experience his wonder and awe. And as a result, our problems diminish, and it increases our expectation for the future. Now, the funniest thing was we got back, we climbed Kilimanjaro, we came back, it was wonderful. Our families met us at Otambo Airport, and we had just experienced a life-changing, awe-inspiring experience, and I couldn't explain it to my family. I tried to tell them. I didn't have any pictures. And it was so difficult for me to explain something if you weren't there. Now, of course, if one of you had climbed Kilimanjaro, you might know, but it's hard for me to verbalize and explain to you what it was like. It was sheerly, just absolutely breathtaking. And I think, to a large extent, we've perhaps lost a little bit of that wonder and awe in our lives. I wonder if you're perhaps sitting there, as I would, saying to yourself, I really want a piece of that. Maybe you're not going to climb Kilimanjaro. Fair. But I think for a lot of us, we're sitting in the fifth month of 2023, surviving, not thriving. The piece of scripture that I'm going to focus on today is long, but it is beautiful. Psalm 145. Now, to give you a bit of background, Psalms were mostly written by David, and I love the book of Psalms because it speaks of so many aspects of David's life, but also I kind of connect myself with David because it speaks so much to me. So he talks about challenge, anger, fear, despair, elation, joy, happiness. And I think, you know, even in the modern day world, we can connect with that. But I think, if anything, it basically expresses worship and encourages us to thank God and praise him for who he is and what he's done. So I'm going to start reading from verse 3. Here we go. 1-4. I lift you high in praise, my God, O King, and I will bless your name into eternity. I will bless every day and keep it from now until eternity. God is magnificent. He can never be praised enough. There are no boundaries to his greatness. Generation after generation stands in awe of your work. Each one tells stories of your mighty acts. Your beauty and splendor have everyone talking. I compose songs on your wonders. You are marvelous, doing marvelous doings are headline news. I could write a book full of the details of your greatness. The frame of your goodness spreads across the country. Your righteousness is on everyone's lips. God is all mercy and grace, not quick to anger, is rich in love. God is good to one and all. Everything he does is soaked through with his grace. Creation and creatures applaud you. God, your holy people bless you. They talk about the glories of your rule. They exclaim your splendor, letting the world know of your power for good, the lavish splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is a kingdom eternal. You never get voted out of office. God always does what he says and is gracious in everything he does. God gives a hand to those down on their luck, gives a fresh start to those ready to quit. All eyes are on you, expectant. You give them their meals on time, generous to a fault. You lavish your favor on all your creatures. What a wonderful piece of scripture. Full of exclamation, full of description, full of awe, full of wonder. Now, there are three things that I want for us to get out of that piece of scripture. So I challenge you to perhaps even go home this evening and read that through again and meditate on that and see what God says to you. But if there are three things I would love for you to get out of that piece of scripture, is the first is wonder and awe comes from God's creation. And I know that probably sounds quite obvious, but God's creation has always left me speechless, utterly speechless. I don't have words. I didn't have words to describe Kilimanjaro. And I'm going to show you a few pictures up here, just the wonder and awe. Now, these pictures were secured from National Geographic photographers that have won multiple prizes. Lightning on a volcano, that's that never give up one with a frog. Just absolute splendor and majesty, awe and wonder, vastness. I love that one, yellow-billed hornbill. Beautiful, isn't it? That's what God puts on display every day. And it leaves us, as it has you, speechless. Kilimanjaro, I remember standing at the foot of something called the Barranco Wall. Now, the Barranco Wall is a sheer 70-meter cliff face that you have to climb up. It's quite daunting. And in that moment, I felt so incredibly small, but actually so good at the same time, because I thought to myself, well, if God made this, what is it that he can do for me? I was in awe and wonder at the size and grandeur of his creation. The second point I'd like to ask you to take on board is wonder and awe comes from the beauty of relationship. I think sometimes we go into these places or we ask God, hey God, can you tell me about that sunset? But I'm going to sit from the comfort of my armchair. Or it was almost like me trying to describe to my family, guys, do you know what it was like on the top of Uhuru Peak? It was minus degrees. We were crying, cold, tired, and hungry, and yet completely elated. And I think sometimes we do that, and we kind of bargain with God and say, well, Lord, you know, I want your wonder and awe, but I'm not so keen to go out into your creation and experience it with you. And what God is doing is he's calling us. He's asking us. He's inviting us into his creation, because he wants to share it with you and me in a way that's deep and meaningful. And the funny thing is, we don't need an agenda when we go to those places. And this is such an example of how God calls us into his presence throughout the Bible. All he wants to do is just hang out with us. He says, abide in me and I in you. Seek first the kingdom of God and all else will be given unto you. Come to me, all who are weary and heavily burdened. Come boldly into God's presence. Turn to me and be saved. Call to me and I will answer you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. God wants us to experience these beautiful places, but he wants us to do it with him, because that's where the magic happens. That's where we feel the connection with God. And that's what I felt at the top of Kilimanjaro. It was almost like I could reach out and touch God's face. was so wonderful. The third point is wonder and awe gives us the anticipation to expect God to satisfy our souls, or put another way, satisfy the desires of our heart. How many of you, when I was telling you that story of Kilimanjaro, thought, wow, I want a piece of that? I feel like I'm missing out on a little bit of awe and wonder. And that you feel perhaps that we've lost it a little bit. We've lost the craving for God's awe and wonder, for us to be immersed in his presence. And as I said earlier, I think there's an element, being in the fifth month of May, kind of shaking my head going, it's 2023 May, I mean, what is it, the 7th? Going, I've just survived through this year. And that's okay. But we can expect God to move in the small and the big. And the amazing thing is, yes, you can find God in the mountains, in the ocean. You can see God in beautiful experiences like going to the game reserve. But folks, let me tell you now that you can also experience God's wonder and awe right here, right now. Yes, there are places that are gloriously beautiful. But wonder and awe exists. We have access to it every single day. Waking up early, which is easier now because the sun comes up later, and watching the sunrise with a coffee. Doesn't cost us anything. We sit there with God and just marvel at his creation. And often during that walk at Kilimanjaro, literally was the hardest thing I've ever done. And I've got a few friends in the audience, they will agree with me. I've done a few endurance races in my life, a few doozies, that type of thing. Climbing Mount Kilimanjaro was by far the hardest thing I've ever done. 8 hours of climbing to get to Uhuru Peak, to cry in pain, but also to be in elation. Now, the wonderful thing about it is that when we're in God's creation, there are physical benefits, physiological benefits, mental benefits. Sunlight through our eyes and on our skin. It decreases this inner chatter or the story we tell ourselves. It helps us sleep better. It reduces stress hormones. It decreases blood pressure. This is all proven, by the way, in science. If you don't believe me, you can look it up. But in addition to that, it also releases serotonin, dopamine, and endorphins. All happy chemicals. We need those. And I think sometimes we crave them, but we don't quite know how. My advice to you is go and seek God's wonder and awe in his creation. It's there, and it's there in abundance. There was a study done on two groups of people. Both groups of people had to draw a picture of themselves pre the event and post the event. The first group of people were asked to engage in a very stressful, highly pressurized day. The second group of people were asked to do the same thing, draw themselves pre and post, but they were asked to climb a mountain. Now, the interesting part is the first group, both groups of people drew themselves medium size, self-image of themselves on a piece of paper, okay? The first group of people, after their stressful day, pressurized, drew themselves really big, almost covering the whole page. The second group of people who had climbed the mountain drew themselves tiny. And I think that is because God almost right-sizes our place in the world, not in a bad way, but he just says to us, you know, my daughter, my son, I love you so much, and this is the creation that I've made for you. But if I can do this, imagine what it is that I could do for you. And it gives us a sense of, wow, I'm insignificant. But I'm so glad that I have a Father in heaven that looks after me, that knows every hair on my head, that calls us by name. What I didn't tell you about Mount Kilimanjaro is that it was very apparent to me as I arrived that there were two young British gentlemen. They were about 20, 27, 28, and I was 21. And they, from the get-go, they were like, we're racing this mountain. Come, Craig, we're putting bets on who's going to get to the top first. And I remember very clearly God saying to me, walk from the back. I was like, what? At the time, I didn't quite know that it was God's voice. But he said, walk from the back. I want you to be the last person walking. And you know the amazing things that I saw when I was walking from the back. I spoke to people that whom I'd never would have spoken to before. I chatted to Elias Masawe. I identified birds that I've never seen before. We walked through a multitude of different sets of vegetation. And I took it all in. And often I would arrive to the camp perhaps an hour and a half after these guys. They were kicking back, sitting. They'd eaten, slept. They'd raced the mountain. I think that's often what we're doing in our lives, is that we all have this metaphorical mountain up there. We are racing toward it, whatever it is, a deadline, something that we're chasing, a promotion, a decision that we're going after. And we go after it so hard that we forget about the stuff on the side, the beauty, the awe, the majesty, the wonder, the splendor. And I didn't know what God was meaning at the time, but it was possibly one of the single most important pieces of instruction that God had given me ever. Poli, poli, slowly, slowly. Craig, walk from the back. We're so focused on getting to the summit that we miss out on the stuff on the side, the experiences, the conversations, the sights, the sounds, both in the big and in the small. Now, the irony is that those young gentlemen, those pommies, they didn't make it to the top. They did not summit Mount Kilimanjaro. Now, I'm not saying I'm better than them, and I'm not saying, you know, sometimes we have bad days, and that's okay. But the reality is that I think sometimes when we take the reins of our own lives and try to do it on our own without inviting God into that place to give us that wonder and awe, to decrease or diminish the size of our problems, and to allow us to create an expectation for the future, we sometimes don't even get to the very thing that we're going after. So where does all this come together? Of course, on the cross. Now, I have here, and I actually rummaged around in our storeroom, a little placard. I don't know if any of you can see it. Okay, that piece of rock is volcanic rock from the top of Mount Kilimanjaro. And it says, Kilimanjaro 5895, 17 to 22nd of December, 2001. And this is a little picture, excuse the cracked frame. Can you all see it? Okay, that is the certificate. This is to certify that Craig Stewart successfully climbed Kilimanjaro, the highest peak in Africa, right to the summit, Uhuru Peak, 5895, 21 September, 2000, time 7 minutes past 8, age 21, signed by my guide, Elias Masawe. There's me and my mum, quite a wonderful memory, because my mum passed away last year, and that's something that I'll hold on to forever. And there's a picture of our whole crew there. That's before we left. The pommies all smiling smugly, but then they got beaten. But ladies and gents, Jesus is our greatest example of someone going out to seek wonder and awe in all that we face. And whenever Jesus felt overwhelmed or pressurized or just physically or emotionally drained, he escaped to be with his Father in the wilderness. That's where Jesus got his strength from. Some of the scriptures in different versions of the Bible call it a silent and desolate place. Luke 5:18, yet he frequently withdrew to the wilderness to pray. Matthew 14:23, after he had sent them away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When the evening came, he was there alone. Mark 1:35, early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and slipped out to a solitary place to pray. Jesus knew that in order to connect with his Father, he needed to be in his Father's presence. But he also realized he needed to be in his Father's creation, alone, by himself. Blaise Pascal said that humanity's failure is man's inability to sit by himself silently in a room. Now, of course, we can choose where we sit, but how often have we engaged seeking out the presence of God by ourselves, without our phones, on our own, with no agenda? I had a friend the other day who talked to me. He's been going through some tough times, and he spoke to me and he said, you know what, Craig, I've read over 100 Christian books, good books, on Christianity, on stepping out of the boat, on, you know, being a better father, or all these things. He's listened to a multitude of different podcasts, and not once did he feel the call of God in his heart. A few weeks ago, he decided on a whim to go for a walk on the beach. Took his shoes off, left them in the car. No agenda, no time frame. Sand on the feet, the smell of the ocean, the sights, the sounds. And God spoke to him directly in that moment where he felt God's hand and his presence, and he could do it in the space of God's creation. Friends, we can. Reading books and podcasts is wonderful. Continue to do it. It's amazing to learn more about God's word and about how we increase our wisdom and discernment. But it means nothing if we're not in his presence. We've got to seek him out. And when we seek him out in his creation, wonderful things happen because our problems just diminish, like those people who drew themselves tiny. And we create an expectation of what's to come. I didn't know too much about what this year was going to hold for me. But I have a deep sense of expectation that God is going to move. So if you're feeling, I guess, down or gray or uninspired or unexpectant like me, I would just encourage you to go out into God's creation and seek him for who he is. Jesus is wonder and awe. We want a picture of wonder and awe, we look to the cross. Wonder and awe sacrificed himself so that he holds up all who fall and lifts all who are bowed down. Wonder and awe sacrificed himself so that all look to him and he gives them their food at the proper time. Wonder and awe sacrificed himself so that he opens his hand and satisfies the desires of every living thing. When we're in God's presence, we experience wonder and awe. Our problems fade away and diminish into insignificance, and we create expectation for God to move in the future. Now, this little piece of rock, as insignificant as it may be to you, this almost was my sacrifice on Uhuru Peak. It almost represents in many ways how I was broken. And I actually had to glue it back together yesterday because it was broken. And I think sometimes if we cast our minds and reflect on Jesus' journey, what did he break for us to give us the fullness of life? What did he do for you on the cross to allow us to experience the wonder, the awe, the majesty, the grandeur of his creation? Folks, if you're feeling like you need God in your lives, go and meet him in the place that he created. And he will meet you there with open arms. Let's pray. Father, Lord, you are a good, good Father. Your grace and mercy endure forever. Your creation, your awe, your wonder are beyond our understanding and expectation. But when we immerse ourselves in it, when we are in the midst of your presence, we feel so good. We feel that you're a God that can do things for us greater than what we can even fathom or imagine. I pray upon these people today, Father God. I pray that where there's breakthrough needed, where there are decisions that need to be made, where there's conversations that need to be had, or money that needs to come through, or conversations that we know we need to have, but we're too afraid, I pray that you would lift these people up, that you would connect them with your creation, and that you would give them a sense of your wonder and awe. And more than that, Father God, I pray that they would look to you and be expectant of you to move in their futures. Amen.